Opening your Bible, if you would, please, over to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. It's where we're going to begin, and we will actually start with verse number 9. All right? I heard this. Heard about an elderly lady who came into church one Sunday morning. The friendly usher greeted her and said, "Ma'am, where would you like to sit?" And she said, "I'd like to sit on the very front row." "Oh, no, ma'am. You don't want to do that. Our pastor is very boring, and he will put you to sleep. Let me sit you somewhere else," said the usher. I better never catch any of y'all saying that. She was appalled. She said, "Sir, do you know who I am?" He said, "No." She said, "I'm the pastor's mother." The usher hung his head in embarrassment. Finally, he looked up and said, "Ma'am, do you know who I am?" And she said, "No." Then he said, "Thank God." All right. Praise the Lord. Everybody say, "God is good." 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Here we go. "But concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I write to you. For you yourselves are taught by God to love one another, and indeed you do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing." Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you that we're living in the land of the living, Father. And we rejoice now that you've given unto us this morning the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Thank you that our eyes are open to see truth, our ears, Father, to hear truth, our hearts to receive truth. And then thank you, Father, that we'll not just hear it and pass it off, but Father, we'll become doers so that the manifold blessing of your word will be upon our lives. And we thank you for that now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, you may be seated. We want to welcome everybody who's watching online, who's watching by television or watching on Facebook Live. We're glad you've joined us this morning. Today, we're continuing and conducting our series on Grill Talk, all right? Our series on Grill Talk. We've talked about our role in work as Christians. We called it Cooking is Work. And we've talked about distractions in life called Don't Let It Burn. And then last week, we talked about dealing with stress, cares, worries, and anxieties and called it Pressure Cooker. Today, we're going to talk about don't leave a bad taste in your mouth. How many of you know that when you cook, sometimes you eat things that aren't good and it leaves a bad taste in your mouth? If you can identify with that, say yes. So today we're going to look at the kind of talk around the grill that's called gossip. This is where we share information. It's juicy, and in many cases, it's secondhand information at best that we heard and did not bother to check out to see whether it's true or not. We heard it from the local workroom, barbershop, hair salon, nail salon, casual conversation to up someone else's, and it always ends up at someone else's expense. God did not call us to gossip or to be busybodies, as we read, but God called us to use our mouths for the use of edifying and uplifting. If you believe that, say yes. And so, how many of you have figured out that happens? It doesn't matter. You get a group of people around, eventually somebody is going to tell you some kind of juicy fact you didn't know about somebody else. And the next thing you know, you find yourself repeating it. Now, you had no intention of doing that, but you find yourself repeating it. And you'll be like, "Hey, did you hear about so-and-so?" And then what happens many times is once that one line has said, "Hey, have you heard about?" Then the next thing you know, it unleashes all of hell into the conversation. Why is that? Because that's ungodly talk. All right? And so all the sins of the tongue are deadly. How many of y'all believe that? All right? And profanity, insults, lying, negativism, complaints, and criticisms are all harmful, not just to the people they're spoken about, but they're harmful to the people that hear them. In fact, how many of y'all have ever heard something about someone, and then the next time you ran into them, that's the first thing you thought about? Let me see your hands. Oh, my. See, we have to learn how to guard ourselves and not let those things get in. Listen to this. Gossip has destroyed more people, tarnished more reputations, and broken more friendships, split more churches than any other sin that we know of. It's how it happens. How many times have churches had problems because, somebody had loose lips? And they say loose lips can sink ships. And it's true. We get torpedoed. Gossip is quickly told, quickly heard, and then quickly spread. And worst of all, gossip is quickly believed. I am always shocked by how fast I have found myself and others wanting to believe something they heard, whether they know it's true or not. And listen, even if somebody walks up to you and tells you something about somebody and you know it to be true, doesn't give you the right to go and repeat it. Just because it's true does not give you the right to repeat it. You need to ask yourself, is this going to bring harm or is this going to edify and uplift? And if it's going to bring harm, let it lie. All right? If you believe that, say yes. See, worst of all, gossip is quickly believed and people will confess. Listen to this. People will confess to theft, adultery, idolatry, and murder. But it is very far and few between. In fact, I've been here 26 years. I've never had one person walk up to me and say, "Pastor, I'm a gossip." I love to wag my tongue and I need help. Nobody. Why is that? We all repeat it, but we don't want to be guilty of saying we're the ones who did it. Listen to this in Proverbs 18:8. Listening to gossip is like eating cheap candy. How many of y'all have ever ate cheap candy? Let me see your hands. That stuff's awful. So listening to gossip's like eating cheap candy. Do you really want that? Do you really want junk like that in your belly? Another way of saying it is, in the New King James, it says it's a tasty morsel and it goes down into your innermost being. Listen, gossip's like eating cheap candy. We need to avoid it. Whether we admit to it or not, we have a fascination with gossip. That's why talk shows, there are so many talk shows and all it is gossip. Grocery store tabloids. How many of y'all been in the grocery store and you like to look over and see what's on the tabloids, the headlines? I think it was Dollar General out by my house, and I looked over there and the person was checking me out and I saw the headline and I read it. And I said, "What do you think about that headline?" And they said, "Sounds pretty ridiculous, doesn't it?" And I said, "Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I wonder if it's true. I'd better get this tabloid." Because you know if it's true, we want to be a part of it, right? Negatory. Proverbs says gossip's like a Heath Bar blizzard that we like to savor. That's what, isn't it funny about gossip? Now listen, I've had some, okay, I'm going to tell the truth here. Now my wife is downstairs, so don't run down there. I mean, I know you are, but make sure you tell it like I tell it. But when I got married, my wife could not cook. For about the first year, I ate some of the most burnt stuff. I mean, I'm telling you right now, scraping it wouldn't do any good. Because I know some scrapers that might break on some of that stuff we were trying to get the char off. She just didn't have a knack for it. Her mom never took the time to teach her. Now, her mom was an excellent cook, but they always had a maid, and so she never had to cook. And so when we got married, it was a little bit rough. And so, when she wasn't looking, I would throw it in the garbage, and then she'd say, "Oh, did you like it? You want some more?" I'd say, "No, I'm full." And then I would go to McDonald's or someplace and get me something quick, all right? Get me something to eat. And so over the years, though, she's learned. But let me tell you this. In eating some of that, some of it was just awful tasting. Besides the char, there was some stuff she didn't char, and it just tasted awful. Too much of this or too much of that ingredient, all right? So anyway, now she's a great cook, all right? So don't you run down there and tell her I said she's just a horrible cook. She is a very good cook now. But I'm telling you, when you're learning how to do something, you eat some things. I mean, how would it be if a young newlywed couple, I just couldn't do it to her. Right? Maybe some of y'all have more of a rough personality, but if she cooked it, I was going to partake of it. But it left a bad taste in my mouth. Well, see, we eat some foods and it leaves a bad taste and we make that decision that, hey, we're never going to have this again. But when it comes to gossip, we don't realize that what we're spewing out is leaving a bad taste not only in our mouth, but in other people's mouths too. Because they're liable to repeat what we're saying. And so it's important. Gossip's like eating a whole box of malted milk balls. It never feels good after you're done. And then gossip's like eating gumming worms, which stick in your teeth and have no nutritional value whatsoever. None. So gossip's like an all-you-can-eat candy buffet. You just can't get enough of it once you start hearing it. So saints, we need to be on guard. Everybody say on guard. And not only does the book of Proverbs warn us that we have a perverse attraction with gossip, Proverbs also warns us of the corrupting effect of gossip. There is a corrupting effect. When we listen to gossip, it goes into our innermost belly. And that's not a good place, because out of an overflow and out of hurt, you're going to repeat things that you've heard. In fact, gossip sinks its teeth into our hearts, soul, and minds, and corrupts us like a fast-spreading cancer. And so we need to stay away from it. Listen to this. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Notice that idle people may tend to be more of a gossip, but they're not the only ones. And so we say things, though, about people and about situations that we should never say. The Bible links gossip and slander together as sister sins. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 29 and 30, you'll find that. The New Testament word slander, which is the Greek meaning of it, is to speak evil of someone. So when you're gossiping and you're slandering someone, you are intentionally speaking evil of someone. All right? Because let me ask you a question. If you're spreading something juicy, is it going to build their life up? Or is it going to cause us to be tainted at how we look at them? And saints, I'm going to tell you right now, it's easy to get caught up in it. But we need to avoid this as much as possible and make sure we're not a part of it. When we gossip, we speak evil about people. We badmouth them. In fact, we say things about them when we don't even know. Now, when they were talking about Jesus, Jesus looked at his disciples and he said, "Who do men say that I am?" in the 16th chapter of Matthew. And they said, "Some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you're Jeremiah, and some say you're just one of the prophets." See, they didn't know the truth about him, and so they were talking about him as though he was somebody that he was not. Who was he? He turns around and says to Peter, "But who do you say I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now that's good. Now listen, you may say, "Well, Pastor, that's not very, very tough slander." Listen, it's about knowing what you're talking about. When you're going to repeat something, you need to know that it's true. When we gossip, we speak evil. The King James Version describes people who gossip and slander as people that are called backbiters. Look at Romans 1:30. Can you put Romans 1:30 up there for me? I don't know if you'll have time to do that. I'll wait on you while you're doing it. When we badmouth someone with gossip, we bite them behind their backs, whether the gossip is true or not. Look at that. It says backbiters. That means you're biting people in the back. We have another word for it. What do we call it? We're sticking people in the back with a knife. All right? And so we need to be careful about that. Backstabbers, you know? And there was a song out about that in the 70s. And so anyway, when we badmouth someone, we gossip and we bite them. All too often, listen, all too often we end up being like Dennis the Menace, who whispers in his neighbor's ear. This is what he said. "Now listen good. I can only tell you this once because my dad told me not to repeat it." Only once, because we're not supposed to repeat it. And so Proverbs 26 and 20, fire goes out without wood, and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. Is that not powerful? Quarrels disappear when gossip stops. In other words, when we're wagging our tongue about people, we are continuing to stir the fires. Did you notice that the quarrels disappear? And Proverbs says that not only will the quarrels disappear, but again, about gossip, it also says that gossip will separate the best of friends. So I'm going to give you five questions. We got to do this. We're hurrying. And I'm going to give you five questions here just to consider before you decide you want to listen to an evil report. All right, about somebody. I'm going to give you five things to consider. Number one, ask the person, what's your reason for telling me? Just go ahead and ask him, what's your reason for telling me? What you're about to tell me, what's your reason for telling me this? You're asking the person their motive for sharing this information with you. Is it so that you can be involved in the solution? If not, you don't need it. Why you and not someone else? If it's none of your business, then tell that person, I'm not the one to talk about this matter. You should go directly to the person involved. What's your reason for telling me? I guarantee if you start asking people that question, you'll slow a lot of this stuff down. Number two, where'd you get your information? Let's find out where they got it. And then when they tell you where they got it, say, well, I'm going to call to verify it and find out where they got it from. Now, I guarantee you, you're going to stop people right there. Because the first thing they're going to say, typically they're going to say when you ask them where'd you get your information, is they're going to say from someone. All right? Then that's exactly what they said in Matthew 16. Some say, scuttlebutt, hearsay. Listen, ask them where'd you get it. If a person refuses to identify the source of the information, they're probably spreading an evil report and we need to let it go. Number three, have you gone to those directly involved? All right? Have you gone to those directly involved? That's the next thing you need to ask them. Have you personally gone? So if Kevin comes up to me and he wants to spread something, I need to ask him, have you gone to these people directly? Because if he hasn't gone to them directly, we don't need to be talking about it. All right? In fact, didn't Jesus say, if you have a problem with your brother, you're supposed to go to him? You know, I'm going to tell you right now, when the church starts acting like the Bible tells us to, we're going to have a lot less problems on our hands. Number four, have you personally checked out all the facts? Often gossip's based on hearsay or misinformation, or the person spreading it has listened to only one side. Listen to this in Proverbs 18:17, the New International Version. The first to present his case seems right till another comes forward and questions him. Isn't that something? There it talks about cross-examination, all right? The first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and offers some cross-examination. By the time gossip travels down the line, it gets even more distorted. How many of y'all found that to be true? I guarantee if we started right over here, if I told Bob, if I went over and whispered in Bob's ear a phrase, by the time it got whispered to everybody in this place and got all the way over here, it would be totally different than what I told Bob. Because people filter what they hear. Are you with me today? And so, saints, we don't need to be a part of this. In fact, the book of Ephesians tells us, let our communication be what? For the use of edifying. Look at what he says. Put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Let each one of us speak the truth. All right? So we need to make sure that we're speaking truth. If you haven't checked the facts, it's only a rumor. We used to get stuff into the office, and Jennifer's sitting right back here. And the first thing she'd do, what is it, Snopes? What is it? Huh? Snopes.com. I mean, that was a regular dialogue open on her computer every day, a window. Snopes.com. Anytime something came in, she'd type it in there. And how many of y'all remember here not long ago during the election, Snopes got caught lying? Now, who do we go to now? I mean, for crying out loud. If you can't trust Google, who can you trust? So we need to check the facts out. Can you say amen? Amen. Number five, here's the clincher. Can I quote you? Can I quote you if I check this out? Can I quote you? Are you willing for me to use your name? So when people come up to me and say, where'd you hear that? I heard it from Scott Northrup. Why are you laughing, Chris? No, I'm serious. If you ask people when they start gossip, they don't want their name associated with it. And saints, if you don't want your name associated with it, it's not worth repeating. And so we need to be careful about what we do. The Bible says death and life. Everybody say death and life. Yes. Where is it? It's in the power of the tongue. So you're either speaking life over people's lives or you're giving them a death sentence. And when you gossip, you're giving them death. When you're acting like a busybody, you're giving them death. What's a busybody? Someone who meddles in everyone else's affairs when they don't need to. There's telephone, there's telegraph, and then there's telebusybody. And I tell you what, they can spread it faster than anybody else. So I'm telling you, saints, listen to me. We need to guard our lips. The Bible says put a guard over your mouth. And make sure that what we're speaking is for the use of edifying so that it builds people up. It ministers grace to the hearer. When you come and bring that information, and listen to me, that's why it's appropriate for us to check people's motives. Do you know God? Listen, how many of y'all remember when the prophet went down to Jesse's house? He went down looking for a king, and he brought out that first son. And it has always intrigued me that when the first son came out, the prophet said, whoa, this has to be God's anointed. Look at his physique and his what? Countenance. And God said, it's not him. You're looking at the wrong thing. You're looking at his outward countenance. I'm looking at his motive in his heart. God is always judging us by our motive and not by our action. Your motive will absolutely cause you to act, but you listen to me. God is looking down on the inside and judging according to your motive. And so you and I need to ask people, what is your motive here? And then we can stop some of the evil stuff that goes around. I mean, you know, don't you wish there was some kind of way we could stop all the nonsense in Washington by asking, what's your motive for what you're doing? Amen. It'd be a whole lot easier to come home at the end of the day and watch the news. Can you say amen? Amen. Now it just looks like a three-ring circus. Why? Because we've allowed things to get off God-center. And once it becomes man-centered, every evil work is open. Where there's envy and strife, and that's exactly what's motivating what's going on. Where there's envy and strife, there's every evil work. So saints, listen to me. As your pastor, I just want to encourage you today. Think and ask before you receive and repeat. Think and ask before you receive and repeat. Why? Because we'll save somebody's life, if not our own. Can you say amen?